Welcome to a fresh new episode of Leader Shift. I'm your host, Jonathan Herron. So great to be back in the chair with you for another episode of Leader Shift. So about that absence, I know it's been a delay since our previous episode with comedian Kevin Farley, and it was for good reason. I was wrapping up the end of my doctoral process. As some of you may know, I've been pursuing a Doctor of Ministry from Liberty University's Rawlings School of Divinity, and just recently completed my doctorate. So I guess you could call me Dr. John now. Listen, the name may change, but my commitment to you is still the same, to bring you engaging content from comedians, communicators, musicians, leaders who are getting it done in a post-Christian world. What are the leader shifts that we can adapt and learn from these leaders in the arts and in church world? Today, I am so excited to bring to you my interview with Rebecca St. James. Among the most defining artists in Christian music history, Grammy-winning singer-songwriter, best-selling author, speaker, and actress, Rebecca St. James rocketed into the global spotlight following the release of her self-titled Forefront Records debut in 1994. The Australian native's modern pop sensibilities and uncompromising lyrics set a benchmark in Christian music, leading a new generation of artistry in the genre. Rebecca has earned multiple Dove Awards, 9 number one Christian radio singles, and 2 gold certified recordings. Her discography includes such iconic albums as Pray, God, and Transform. An award-winning songwriter, Rebecca St. James co-penned multiple selections for King and Country's blockbuster 2019 recording, Burn the Ships. She's also now the host of Rebecca St. James Friends and Family, a new weekly podcast on marriage and parenting, available on K-Love Radio's Access More platform. Well, I had the opportunity to sit down and talk with Rebecca during a tour stop not too long ago, where we talked about everything, the changes that have shifted since the pandemic, parenting, reaching the next generation, so much for you and I to learn from Grammy-winning Rebecca St. James on the Leader Shift podcast. So anyhow, long story short, that's why I'm kind of a weird pastor, because I, you know.
That's so cool that you have a stand-up background. I love that. I did it for a short minute.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd go to that show.
Improv. Oh, gosh, no. No, not an actual show. Just a class. Like, I just dabbled in improv as a prep for acting. And, oh, yeah, no, I wasn't very good at it. But I feel like it freed me up in some ways. Just the whole listening, yes and. Mm-hmm. You know, all, like, the principles behind improv, I feel like, are really good for not only life, but acting. That's cool that we're the same age.
Yeah, kind of weird.
It's weird to be nearly 42.
And to have young children, because people kind of look at you weird.
Too.
All the way down to 9 months.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Yeah, up to 12. There's my oldest right there.
Oh, you're okay. I didn't recognize you.
Yeah. So I get it when you're trying to balance. Yeah. I don't know how you do it though with a tour. That would be.
Yeah, the baby's in. Well, she's one now, but she's in the back in the packing plate.
Yeah.
We're doing it. We're doing it.
Are you guys ready? Where are we at?
I'm just waiting for.
Can I pray for us?
Yes, please.
Yeah, Jesus, thank you for this absolutely beautiful day. Thank you for this nice breeze, Lord. Just bless people that are coming tonight, Lord. I just pray for your power and your spirit to be preparing their hearts and for you to meet the needs of the people that are coming. Pray for this time that you'll anoint it, Lord. Thank you for the fun that John brings to this and the joy of your Holy Spirit. And just pray for your anointing on this time and bless them, Lord. Bless them for coming this whole way. And we just give this time to you and the rest of this day and the show, and bless the boys as they play tonight too, and all the logistics, help that to go well, nothing to distract from what you want to do, but your power to be on it all, now and later. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
You are super busy, and I have just touched that you said, let's stop and pray before we do this. That authentic heart, how do you maintain that authenticity in the midst of, you know, lights and musicians and autographs? And what is that like?
I mean, I think authenticity is a value that Australians value very highly. Like, just that whole, like, being true and, like, I don't know, like, not thinking too highly of yourself. I think, actually, there's a thing in Australia, I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's the tall poppy syndrome. And if people, like a flower, you know, a poppy that raises above the other poppies, it gets cut down. And it's almost like this thing of, like, trying to keep people humble. And I think there is something about being Aussie. I was 14 when we moved to the US. Mm-hmm. That kind of, I essentially am reminded of that a lot. Like, just authenticity is such an important value, you know, humble, mm-hmm. relying on God, realizing that I can't bring anything good. Anything good is going to come from him, and prayer is a huge key to that. So, I don't know. I think it's in the roots a bit, but family, traveling with your family too, I think helps you grounded too.
I think that's partly what's contributed to what a 20-year successful career,
well,
so to speak, because people connect with your authenticity. So we haven't seen you in a couple of years, it feels like.
Yes.
What did you? Is this like the big comeback, or did you? You were here the whole time.
I wasn't here the whole time. So I did probably around 20 years of music, nearly 20 years. Started super young, in my teens, and then when I got married, or around the time we got married, I just had so long to be married and have children for so much of my life, and I was in my 30s, early 30s, when my husband and I got married. And I just wanted to devote wholeheartedly to that and not feel kind of this tug of war between the road. And I was pretty worn out, honestly, too. I was pretty exhausted, I think, in a lot of different ways when I finished out. So about a year before we had our daughter, who is now 5, I kind of unofficially retired. I didn't make a big song and dance about it, but just felt that I needed to retreat, and it could have been for forever, but about a year and a half, 2 years ago, God made it very clear that he was calling me back into this kind of ministry with music, and I'm working on a new album right now with Bethel Music, and there's just a lot happening, starting to do shows with my brothers in Fakine Country, and some of my own stuff too, so it's an exciting time.
That is exciting. So what's it like to be in this phase of ministry, but you've also got to balance out kids, family life?
Yeah.
Can you speak into that for some of the listeners who are trying to juggle?
Yeah. Well, it's a little comical, I think, sometimes, because it's like, it's a little cray-cray. You know, I'll be like 10 minutes before going on stage, and like our one-year-old daughter's hungry and, you know, wanting me to hold her, and like I'm like got my ears that I need to start putting in because I got to go out there, and I'm like got my set list, and it's like it's a crazy juggle. Or I'll do my show and literally go back to the bus and put the kids to bed, which I love that. Like, there's something about the normal element of that that is just so soothing to my heart. I don't know, it's a juggle, but I feel for me it's so empowering to have our family involved. Like, we're going to homeschool our daughter in the fall because we want that flexibility to be able to do this as a family. And there's such a lovely joy in it. And the experiences that they have on the road, too, are just really profound. And it's kind of second generation, too, because all my siblings, so Joel, Luke, all my youngest siblings, 6 under me, so 7 of us kids, we all did the road together growing up. So we kind of lived on the road for a really long time. So it's like the next generation is doing this. Luke has his kids out really regularly. We have ours out. It's awesome.
That's amazing. Mm. So when you're getting ready to go on stage, like tonight, there's going to be, you know, thousands of people. How do you get yourself mentally prepared? You got pastors and leaders who have to get in front of an audience.
Yep.
What are some tips that you can give us?
I don't think it's going to be anything too like revolutionary. I'm sorry, everybody watching right now could give me the tips on how to like prepare well and get your head in gear, because it's pretty simple, I feel like, for me. I mean, prayer obviously is the one thing I have to do no matter what. I do also like to kind of write out my notes, because I speak in between my songs and share from my heart. That's kind of been a through line throughout my whole ministry. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm sharing something new, I do like to do bullet points. I don't write out the entire thing word for word, but I like to do bullet points that I can kind of draw from just to get my focus. So I'll kind of view those before I'm going out and huddle up as a band and pray. And you know, actually, my best friend said to me something really early on. This horse is going by. This is so great. We are at the fair.
She has amazing focus. There's this huge horse going by.
Like a hayride and kids and the whole deal. You're missing it.
This is
right there. So, yeah, where was I? Oh, my best friend. Mm-hmm. Early on in music, I was feeling so inadequate. I was 16, just starting out full-time in music. So nervous before shows. And she just said one time, just remember, it's all for God. It's all for God. And I feel like for me, I so often remind myself of that, because there's something in me that settles down when I come back to that truth, instead of going, oh, it's, I've got to bring it. And I've, you know, I'm tired, or I'm distracted, or I'm here and I'm there. It just settles me down and going, you know what? It's not actually about me at all. It's about him. It's all for him. It's all on him. Anything good comes from him. And that's just been so freeing to remind myself.
Have you ever had like a bad experience, you know, like messed up on stage?
Oh, yeah.
Or?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you're normal.
Like traumatic shows. Yes. Yes. And not that long ago, too. Like, I feel like it was last summer. And I was literally panicking the entire show, because I had a few bad notes. I stumbled over like a line and like forgot a word of a worship song that everyone in the audience would have known, but I got it wrong, you know. And I don't know, we'd had weather problems that day, so my set had got cut. Someone was meant to be there to look after our kids, and they didn't arrive because of the weather, so I'm handing off our baby to somebody else.
And nothing stresses you out more as a parent. Yeah, I hear you.
It was like panic, and I didn't recover the entire set.
Oh,
so,
no.
Oh, yeah, I was a little... You know, you have those kind of traumatic ministry
moments.
So
superstar singers have bad days too, people. So you get to see a lot of ministries, churches. You're a worship leader also. Mm-hmm. What do you see in America that's working, that gets you excited? And then what are some areas that you think the church could step it up?
Oh, gosh, dude.
Kind of a big, big question.
I don't even feel worthy to, like, touch that.
Or what excites you right now in church world?
I mean, I think the two things that probably excite me that spring to mind immediately are worship, fresh worship, like Holy Spirit anointed worship, and authenticity. I mean, it's interesting that we're coming back to that, but when I hear somebody sharing a story that is just vulnerable and it's just real, and it just, you know, that they're just kind of bearing their soul courageously, or they're being honest, like they're willing to actually share some of their struggles in their journey, obviously while not dumping on the congregation or, you know, the audience or whatever. You've got to weigh that out with balance. But when they're actually sharing authentically something that has happened in their life that was hard and how God met them, I mean, that just excites me. And I feel freshly privileged to be able to have a platform to be able to share with people and encourage people. You know, I did it for so long, and I was just in it, and I kind of grew up in it. And now I'm choosing to follow a God in ministry in this new season. And as an adult, like, I'm a grown-up, you know, like choosing, yeah, I feel called to this, choosing to move back into it with intention without family in the season. And I feel really thankful to be able to share my authentic story and some of my pain and some of my journey with people, and pray that it'll be encouraging.
It is weird to wake up one day and realize that we are the adults.
Yes.
And so you look at the generation of 40-somethings, the Gen Xers.
Yes.
And I guess we're kind of now leading the way in church world, worship world.
Right.
What advice or what, you know, charge would you give to some of the Gen X church leaders tuning in?
Well, one, you know, I think something that comes to mind is adulting is hard, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not, like, I feel like I looked at my dad at 40, and I was probably 12 when he turned 40. And, like, I just kind of thought he had it all together and understood the ins and outs of life, and it's just a strong leader. And he was doing all this amazing stuff in Australia, you know, ministry-wise and stuff. And I feel like, you know, I get to 40, which is not that long ago, and I'm like, I'm still figuring out so much. And so I just think, like, just embracing the fact that we're all still figuring it out, and that's okay. And I think, honestly, people in that we're ministering to appreciate that, us being honest about that, that we're just still journeying and figuring things out like everyone else is. You know, mm-hmm. I just think that that's a cool thing to offer.
So when you're in this mix of ministering to people,
yeah,
and we're, I mean, we're not old, but
nope.
You know, but how do you keep God's word fresh in your life? What do you look at different versions of scripture? Do you listen to different teachers?
Well, I feel like I'm, you know, talking about podcasts, I feel like I'm just starting to kind of recognize that there's this whole other podcast world that is just fascinating to me, where you can kind of hear from people more authentically in these chunks. And we do listen to some sermons online sometimes, especially if we're not able to mm-hmm. like make it to our church, you know, on a Sunday if we're traveling. But I have a devotional book and then kind of another through the year kind of devotional book and my Bible that I can journal in. I kind of pull on different days and in different moments as a busy mom on the run. I feel like I would love to be able to sit and just go, I'm getting up at 5 a.m.
I know, right?
And I'm spending an hour of in-depth Bible study. Like, I so wish that was my story. It's not. But I really, Jesus Calling has been another wonderful devotional book that I've kind of pulled from. So, and then I'm constantly reading books that I feel like are encouraging me spiritually. So it's just kind of like bits and pieces, I feel like.
That's awesome. Yeah. So go back in your mind to 2001.
Yeah.
Okay. The first time that I went to a concert, a Rebecca St. James concert, my wife and I went to a Youth Workers National Convention in Nashville, and they brought in LaRue and all the different, Mark Schultz and everything, and then you were playing there, and you were in your 20s. If you could give advice to 20-something Rebecca St. James.
Yeah.
If you could go back in time, because we have younger leaders, Brennan, he's 20.
Yeah.
What would you say?
That soul care, self-care, rest is incredibly important. And I think when you're young, you just kind of feel like a little invincible, or you feel like you can kind of just say yes to everything, take on everything. And, you know, and there's opportunities and momentum and like a flow that happens in ministry too. You know, there's like a lot happening. But just taking that time out to have sabbaticals, especially if you're in full-time ministry, like sabbaticals, mm-hmm. like a good chunk of them, you know, and a Sabbath and like people pouring into you, not just you pouring into other people, like a mentor, like just accountability, like just having a scenario that you set up and boundaries that you set up where you are being poured into. So that's not where you're becoming like a spiritual anorexic. And I think for me, I was so young starting out, first tour of 13, you know, full time at 16. And I just didn't know the importance of balance, you know, and the importance of rest on that journey. And I would love to be able to go back and kind of build in those. So when I started feeling kind of exhausted, I'd build it in then. But by that point, I feel like I'd already, you know, I was still like, okay, I can do it. A little sabbatical. You know, like it's just, you're always on catch up a little bit. So I think early on, if you can kind of build in that soul care and create good patterns of rest and refreshment in your ministry, I think you're so much healthier.
Well, something I appreciated being in youth ministry for many years was the Wait For Me movement. Mm-hmm. And now we're in 2019 and it feels like with the internet and,
you know,
social media. What are your thoughts on where we're at trying to minister to
teenagers? You would be able to answer that. You're in the thick of it. What do you think about where
I don't know.
We're at?
I'm like, about to have a 13-year-old
son.
Yeah,
seriously.
Which scares me to death.
Yeah. Seems like a good man, though.
Yes.
You can see that in his eyes.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
But what would you encourage church leaders maybe to focus in on, or what encouragement would you give to church leaders?
You're right. In that period of time, there was a big focus, I feel like, in the church on purity and on just supporting young people in a commitment to honoring God in that area. And I don't know, this is just my observation being in the church and and traveling, you know, and being a part of different bodies of Christ in different places. But I don't know that it was the same as when we were kids. Like, I feel like there was a big focus then on that, and you kind of heard about it a lot, like in Focus on the Family, Breakaway, Brio magazines, like they'd focus on it. And I just don't hear as much talk about probably purity like I did then. So I just think I would love to see another wave of that in the church, where it's like, okay, yeah, there's so much coming up against our young people today that is so hard. And we have a 5-year-old and a 1-year-old, and it's like, oh, you know, it's like kind of breaks your heart what they're coming into when there's just so much pressure and so much attack against, I think, young people in that department especially. But I think I would just love to see another wave in the church of a focus on purity and a focus on support to the young people, like, of guidance in that area, like real specific help, because I just think there's so much temptation, there's so much compromise, there's so much pain surrounding that and pressure. And I'm not saying in a you've got to do this, you know, shame kind of way. I'm saying let's come alongside each other, let's be in this together, let's keep each other accountable, let's have, you know, purity events that can encourage kids.
Absolutely. So what's ahead for you? As you look ahead in ministry, I heard you're writing a new album with Bethel.
Yes.
What does that look like? That's exciting.
I'm really excited. So we're, I think, 3/4 of the way through the album right now, I think, at least writing. So we haven't started officially tracking the album yet, but it's slated for early next year, probably spring.
That's exciting.
That'll come out, and hopefully some music will be heard before that. But doing some limited touring this year and probably a bit more extensive next year, but there's some speaking that we're talking about doing and some things my husband and I together, and there's a lot happening right now that's in the very early stages. But I just again feel really honored to be able to serve God, able to encourage people in their lives, because a lot of people are feeling a lot of hopelessness and a lot of discouragement and just need kind of wind in their sails. So what a privilege to be able to allow the Spirit to move through us, you know, as leaders, and be life-giving to people. I freshly appreciate that more than ever today.
That's awesome. So a couple months ago, we had Joel and Luke on the podcast, and we got a little silly at the end with some lightning round questions.
Yep.
Are you up for
some
silly?
Yes.
Like the first things that pop in your head. There's no right or wrong.
Okay.
This is the lightning round with Rebecca St. James sitting in a cornfield in Indiana.
Yes, we are.
Apparently.
Absolutely.
Random horses. Okay.
Yes.
So some easy ones. Favorite color?
A green, actually.
Favorite food?
Thai.
Favorite state in the United States?
Well, it'd be a toss-up between Tennessee, which is where we live, and California, where we've just kind of moved from. So I kind of love both places. It's
Do you have a favorite, TV show?
I actually just discovered a pretty hilarious show. Don't judge. But called Bless This Mess.
Totally judging.
It's real. Dax Shepard is in it. It's very fun.
He's from Michigan, you know.
Is he really?
Yeah, that's where we're from, the High Five State.
Okay.
Yeah, if you guys do your speaking events, you should come up to Michigan.
Okay.
We'd host you guys.
That'd be great.
We totally would.
That'd be great.
Lightning round.
Oh, yeah.
So Aussie. Which is better, ketchup or Vegemite?
I've been here a long time, probably ketchup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
not doing the Vegemite too often these days.
Are there any horribly embarrassing little brother stories that we should be aware of when it comes to For King Country? Or are they perfect? They might just be, you know.
Joel kind of went through a punk stage. You know, he and I are very good friends now, but he went through a punk stage
Purple hair, spikes?
Not that kind of punk. Like,
you're a punk.
Yes, you're a punk, dude, you know. But he, like, he had one of my band guys break a pineapple over his head because it was a dare. So he that kind of, like, pushing the boundaries, kind of hyper.
It's the Australian stuff, I guess.
Probably.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And, Crocodile Dundee. Mm-hmm. There's a very famous line.
Yeah.
And Joel and Luke really struggled to say it. But if you could say, That's not a knife.
This is a knife.
Yeah, that's what we want to hear.
This is a knife. It's like N-O-I-F-E, noi.
During the sound check, you were saying noise, and I thought that was so cool.
Oh, yeah.
Is that an Australian thing?
No, noise. I don't know. Is that from a movie or something?
Noise.
Noise.
That sounds very noise.
Yeah, noise.
There you go, my interview with Grammy-winning Rebecca St. James. You can learn more when you head over to RebeccaSt.James.com. Coming up on the next edition of LeaderShift, I'll be sitting down with online content creator and author Natalie Runyon, who runs the popular Instagram account @RaisedToStay. @RaisedToStay. Natalie recently left her staff position at New Life Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, where she was the pastor of women and creative pastor of family ministry. Her first book, Raised to Stay, will release in June of 2023, where she'll share more of her story of the brutal beauty of being raised in the church and 42 years later, still holding on to Jesus. Can't wait for you to hear the inspiring words, and I do mean that, underlining the word inspiring words of Natalie Runyon. And of course, as I said before, you can catch her on Instagram @RaisedToStay. Hey, you can catch me on Instagram and TikTok, Twitter, and Facebook @HighFiveJohn. That's @HighFiveJohn. Tons of free content, resources, articles, and videos for your team at JonathanHaron.com and on YouTube when you search Jonathan Haron. That's it for this edition of the LeaderShift podcast. Please leave a 5-star review if this was helpful. Share this with your team. And don't forget to enjoy your burrito.